Welcome to Essence, your weekly dose of Essence magazine. I am Cherise Stevens, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today, I'm reading articles from the July-August 2025 issue of Essence magazine. Some of the articles I will be reading are Generations of Black Women in Politics, Barrier-Breaking Political Strategist, Take No Prisoners Congresswomen, Committed Sister Senators. These powerhouse duos are building bridges to a brighter future. Black women were seen. In the 1970s, Black women were all but invisible to advertisers. Essence radically changed that, forcing mainstream brands to reckon meaningfully with the new kid on the block. Our first article is Generations of Black Women in Politics. The Strategist, Donna Brazil and Simone Sanders Townsend. Two generations, one mission. Brazil and Sanders Townsend on shaping power and passing it on. By Melissa Noel. In the sweltering July heat of 1995, a young Donna Brazil navigated the crowds in the Superdome of New Orleans, drawn in as much by the historic gathering of Black women as by the promise of seeing Luther Vandross and Gladys Knight perform. That inaugural Essence Music Festival became the foundation for what Brazil calls our family reunion, a cultural touchstone that, along with the magazine, has for several generations helped launch and affirm Black women's voices. Essence gave us the moment to be leaders, to be thought leaders, political leaders, wellness leaders, C-suite leaders, geniuses, writers, everything, reflects Brazil, a veteran political strategist and media commentator. She made history as the first Black woman to manage a major presidential campaign, heading up the run of former Vice President Al Gore. Then, in 2016, she served as interim DNC chair. Essence was that path for many of us to find another way forward, she says. Even before these achievements, Brazil was breaking barriers. At the age of 22, she was tapped by Coretta Scott King to serve as the National Youth Coordinator for the 20th anniversary of the 1963 March on Washington. She also worked with Stevie Wonder and others to make Dr. King's birthday a national holiday. When Essence started, we were still riding the wave of the civil rights and women's movements. Brazil, now 65, explains. In one movement, we were allowed to do the work, and in another movement, we were not allowed to serve as leaders. We had to navigate our own path. A generation later, Simone Sanders Townsend rose to prominence at 25 as the youngest press secretary in U.S. history during Senator Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign. She went on to serve as a senior advisor to President Joe Biden's 2020 campaign and as a chief spokesperson for Vice President Kamala Harris. Her path was illuminated early on when she saw Brazil on television at a time when few Black women had such platforms. Donna Brazil was a blueprint for so many of us who wanted to work in politics and then do television, said Sanders Townsend, now 35, and co-host of MSNBC's The Weeknight. She was the color girl on TV, the color girl who was the campaign manager before they were passing out political commentator jobs. Sanders Townsend is now carrying forward lessons learned from mentors like Brazil. One of the biggest lessons I've learned from her specifically is, you can never rest on your laurels, she says. Who are you without your title? Because the title can be gone tomorrow. This wisdom exchange works both ways. Simone taught me that you have to meet people where they are, not where you want them to be, Brazil says. Her generation speaks in hashtags and Instagram stories. I've had to evolve how I communicate. Both women emphasize perseverance as essential to their political journeys, especially as Black women facing double barriers in predominantly white and male spaces. You learn at an early age how to survive, how to thrive, How to Persevere, says Brazil. Sanders Townsend recalls a pivotal moment when she first called Brazil, complaining about workplace challenges. She gave me some good, tough love that I've never forgotten, Sanders Townsend reveals. She was talking about the isms, like, if you can't handle a little racism, little sexism, little ageism, I'm unsure how you plan to go any further. That lesson fundamentally shifted her approach. What's for you won't miss you, she affirms. For decades, Essence has been what Sanders Townsend calls a Black woman's Bible, providing a platform for Black women to discuss topics once considered taboo, from reproductive rights to financial literacy. Now, as the two barrier-breaking strategists look forward, they see themselves as links in a chain that stretches from Harriet Tubman to Ida B. Wells to whoever comes next. I want to instill in every Black child that you might fall in life. Somebody might slip you up. But it's how you get up, how you go forward, Brazil says. We took the assignment, and we're going to continue to deliver. The Congresswomen, Representative Maxine Waters and Representative Jasmine Crockett, from viral clapbacks to meaningful legislative impact, these intrepid representatives show how Black women lead and refuse to back down. By Maleka Chabali. If you've watched cable news over the past decade, you've likely heard an epic clapback from one of two powerhouse congresswomen who know how to command a mic and a moment on Capitol Hill. During Trump 1.0, we had veteran lawmaker Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat of California, to thank for a run of viral sound bites. She expressed bold defiance of Donald Trump's racist rhetoric and reckless leadership as the COVID-19 pandemic ravaged Black communities. If the president's first term set the stage for, quote, Auntie Maxine, end quote, then Trump 2.0 has beckoned Cousin Jasmine to the mic. It's hard not to see the similarities between Waters and Representative Jasmine Crockett, Democrat of Texas. Both women have gone beyond representing their respective districts to become prominent national figures serving as spokeswomen for Americans frustrated with Trump's presidency. The day before our conversation, Waters, ranking member of the House Financial Services Committee, addressed the tenuous state of the economy after Trump's first 100 days. Even after more than 30 years in Congress, the Congresswoman's energy hasn't subsided. I learned early on that I had an opinion and I had a voice, and that I could cause things to happen, she states. So in my career, I looked to create justice. I looked to confront the cruelty of people like Trump and what they are attempting to do to unwind and destroy the progress that we have made. Representative Crockett has joined Waters in critiquing Trump and Elon Musk for gutting programs like Social Security and the Department of Education. How does she feel amid this nonstop speaking tour? Exhausted, she says. Though the two leaders built their political careers in different states, both women were born and raised in St. Louis. There must have been something in the water in the Show Me State, as Crockett appears to operate with the veteran lawmaker's same trademark, straightforward firebrand style. Crockett attributes her commitment to public service in part to seeing Black women like Waters advocate for justice. She was the first one that I ever really saw, she says, recalling her earliest memories of a Black woman representing their community in Congress. Now, she gets to see Waters in action in person. It is kind of surreal to now be in this position where I'm given an opportunity to learn from her up close and personal, she says. There is indeed a well of knowledge to draw from Waters, and the California legislator offered some of it to Crockett. Your mind, your heart, your education brought you to this point, Waters says. Don't question that. Follow what you've been doing. In discussing the importance of Black media, Waters calls Essence a pioneer and leader in focusing on Black women. Crockett adds that it is Black journalists, Black newspapers, and Black magazines that will be able to tell the truth about what's happening. Sister Senators Angela Alsobrooks and Lisa Blunt Rochester, two Black women serve in the Senate together, a historic first and a beacon for future leaders, by Melissa Noel. When Senators Angela Alsobrooks of Maryland and Lisa Blunt Rochester of Delaware take their seats on the U.S. Senate floor, their presence marks a profound shift in American political representation. For the first time, two Black women are serving simultaneously in the Senate, each bringing decades of public service experience and distinct policy visions. There is something powerful about walking into the chamber and knowing that I'm not alone, says Alsobrooks, who made history as the first woman and first Black person to be elected to a U.S. senator in Maryland. She and Blunt Rochester have formed a tight bond as sister senators. Alsobrooks also spent 27 years in public service before her 2024 Senate win, including a Maryland's first domestic violence prosecutor and Prince George's County's first Black woman county executive. Every successive generation should do better than the one that came before, she says. That's our assignment, to knock down systemic barriers that prevent our kids from opening any door. This focus on economic opportunity defines Alsobrooks' Senate agenda. We have to continue to work towards social justice, but social justice is amplified by advances in economic prosperity, she says, explaining her emphasis on access to capital, home ownership, and generational wealth. Blunt Rochester's background is in labor leadership. She served as Delaware's Secretary of Labor and as CEO of the Metropolitan Wilmington Urban League, and she brings that experience to the Senate. After losing her husband when she was 52, the legislator's path changed in a supermarket. I saw a dad with three kids put back grapes because they were $9, and it just snapped me out of pain, she recalls. It made me recognize that I'm still alive. I can serve. Despite never having run for office before, she launched a campaign. Both senators credit Essence for amplifying their voices. Black media tells our stories to their fullness, says Alsobrooks, and Blunt Rochester notes, Essence is a refuge, not just fashion and culture, but the truth. She observes that Black media understands, in a way mainstream media can't miss, how her lived experiences shape her priorities, from maternal health to clean water. As the sister senators stand on the shoulders of trailblazers like Carol Moseley Braun, 1992, Kamala Harris, 2016, and LaFonza Butler, 2023, both remain focused on creating pathways for others. Fear is a thief of joy and of your future, says Blunt Rochester. So do it afraid. Adds Alsobrooks. I want wealth and prosperity to be a realistic expectation for generations to come. You are listening to Essence with Sharice Stevens on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Black women were seen. For five decades, we've challenged brands to see us intentionally, speak to us authentically, and invest in us meaningfully. It wasn't always easy. By Marquita K. Harris. It was the height of the Black Power movement and the Vietnam War. This was an era when some of the most electrifying Black women musicians in history were locked in. Aretha Franklin, Diana Ross, and Tina Turner dominated radio stations and our collective consciousness. What better time to launch a magazine? In May 1970, Essence magazine was launched into the American publishing stratosphere. But despite the vibrant presence of Black women in popular media and entertainment, and the powerful images of Black women, dominating the culture. We were still largely invisible to advertisers, a major problem for a fledgling outlet. Founded by Jonathan Blout, Cecil Hollingsworth, Edward Lewis, and Clarence O. Smith, Essence was among the first major periodicals dedicated to celebrating the interior lives, aspirations, and complexities of modern Black women. Under the guidance of our first editor-in-chief, Ida E. Lewis, we arrived on newsstands as a bold, proud, and painstakingly curated publication for unapologetically Black women. Essence became a part of enduring legacy of Black media that has informed and entertained since the 1800s. In the 20th century, publisher John H. Johnson, Ebony, Jet, and Negro Digest made it clear to advertisers that Black people were a consumer base worth investing in. Yet, it would be decades before Black women would be recognized as a distinct demographic worth selling to. You know, there were less than 15 pages of advertising in the first edition, said co-founder Jonathan Blount in the 2023 docuseries Time of Essence. Quite frankly, at that time, we had to find the very few advertisers that actually had Black ads. In 1968, just 2 years before the magazine was launched, a McKinsey & Company report revealed that less than 2% of U.S. advertising budgets were allocated toward reaching Black consumers. In the rare instances that Black people appeared in advertisements, their presence was reductive and stereotypical. Essence posed a challenge to that image by presenting joyful, multifaceted portrayals of Black womanhood, and we insisted that the industry catch up. Standing on business. That demand wasn't just about inclusion, it was about integrity. In late 1986, Revlon's then president, Irving J. Botner, publicly remarked, "In the next couple of years, the Black-owned business will disappear. They will all be sold to white companies." Black companies objected to this derisive statement. In 1987, during a nationwide boycott of Revlon led by civil rights activists, Essence took a further groundbreaking step. The magazine banned ad dollars from the cosmetics giant at a time when advertising revenue was a make-or-break issue for print publications. Taking the high road wasn't always the best for profit. However, the move solidified the company's role, not just as a media outlet, but as a moral authority and community advocate. It was one of the first clear examples of what would become known decades later as conscious capitalism. Essence demonstrated that Black media could drive both business and activism, and that advertisers couldn't rely on Black dollars without earning Black trust. By holding brands accountable, Essence forced a cultural and commercial shift. Its boldness encouraged other Black-owned media companies to rethink their relationship with advertisers, while pushing brands to reconsider how they engaged with diverse consumers. Rewriting the rules of representation. As Essence grew, so did its impact on the advertising world. Throughout the 1980s, 1990s, and early 2000s, the magazine helped reshape how brands depicted Black consumers. Gone were the lazy stereotypes and background roles. Essence demanded and modeled nuanced portrayals of Black women, who also became a training ground for Black creatives. Photographers, writers, stylists, and marketers found not only work but mentorship and cultural validation at the magazine. This pipeline of talent helped shift the advertising industry from the inside out. According to a 2023 Nielsen report, 61% of Black consumers said they were more likely to purchase from brands that authentically reflect their culture in advertising. This growing demand for authenticity can be traced back to the groundwork laid by publications like Essence. What began as a small editorial team with a big vision has evolved into a cultural powerhouse. By 2025, Essence has become more than a magazine. It's a multi-platform media brand. a case study in culturally fluent marketing and an influencer in corporate boardrooms. And the numbers prove it. Today, Black consumer spending power is projected to exceed $1.9 trillion, with Black women making up a dominant force across beauty, wellness, fashion, and entertainment sectors. Our spending power is no longer ignored because Essence made it impossible to overlook us. The Essence Festival, a cultural and economic powerhouse. Perhaps the most visible expression of the brand's impact is the Essence Festival of Culture, launched in 1995 in New Orleans. What began as a celebration of the magazine's 25th anniversary has become one of the largest Black cultural events in the country, drawing more than 500,000 attendees annually and generating more than $300 million for the local economy each year. The festival features panels, performances, business expos, and wellness programming, all rooted in uplifting Black people and Black culture. It's not just a party, it's a marketplace, a political forum, and a showcase of Black excellence. Major brands that once overlooked Black communities now compete for space at Essence Fest, eager to connect with one of the most influential demographics in America. The event has become a barometer for which companies truly, quote, get it, end quote, and which are still catching up. In this way, the festival embodies the brand's central message. Black women are not just trendsetters. They are economic and cultural engines. They are not to be marketed to as an afterthought, but with intention and respect. More than a magazine, a movement. In 2025, Black history is quite literally being erased. Our lauded public figures and accomplishments have disappeared from government platforms. Our language and colloquialisms have been co-opted by those who wished us harm. Through it all, Black women have consistently supported platforms and programs for the greater good, and Essence has been central to that. The magazine didn't just change how Black women were portrayed. It changed who gets to be behind the camera, at the design table, at the computer keyboard, and in the boardroom. 55 years after its founding, Essence stands as proof that media can be both profitable and principled. It is a continuing reminder to brands, creatives, and consumers that authenticity isn't a trend. It's a way of life. You have been listening to Essence with readings from the July-August 2025 issue of Essence magazine. I am Cherise Stevens, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a great day.